Hey, this is Phil Stamper, the president of wrestling, and you're listening to the Wrestle Horror Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror. Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. Behind me is my new logo. Isn't that cool?
Looks very cool.
With me, as always, my co-host, Donnie Hoover, who doesn't have a cool logo like me yet. Donnie, what's going on?
Nope, I ain't as cool as you, but I'll get there one of these days.
And joining us on this episode, he is the president of wrestling, Phil Stamper. Phil, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing this evening?
We're doing great. You know, Donnie told me he got you on the show, and let's talk wrestling. Let's talk horror. Let's have a little bit of fun with it. I mean, that's what we're here for.
Right. I'm excited.
So Donnie, what opening questions do you have for Phil?
Yeah, just for the people out there. I mean, you know, the president of wrestling, you think everybody would know who you are, but just in case there's some people out there that don't, you know, let's give them a little quick background story on you.
I mean, if you don't know who I am by now, shame on you, but that's okay. You're here now right. And you're going to learn. So my name is Phil Stamper. I've been involved with World of Wrestling for about 25 years. I've worked backstage. Yes, I have wrestled in the ring for a long time. I then had neck surgery a couple of years ago, so I've been less active in the ring, and have moved on to more of an authority figure role in a number of companies, but I'm still very much active in pretty much any aspect of wrestling, whether that's behind the scenes or marketing, on camera as a talent, or behind the scenes and just making sure things move forward and run as an event.
Yeah, it's from what people don't know, you know, you got like tons of irons in the fire. So just because you don't climb through the ropes don't mean you're actively involved in wrestling by any means. You know, like say you work for multiple companies and you do like their social media stuff. What all do you do for companies? I know you help promote the shows, you help get shows ready.
So I have what I call like a wrestling contact list of about 420 different kinds of wrestling media. So wrestling news sites, websites, podcasts, radio shows, just focused on wrestling media. For some of the specific companies I work for, I build out like mainstream media contacts, radio stations, newspapers, community boards, those kinds of things specific to that community. And then other online platforms that might just be unique to that unique city or location. To just help get the word out. So writing a press releases, then sending it out. And some of that varying with the company, I've had to do like media buys, help video edit commercials or make the commercials. Especially on social media, it's a lot of like, again, just getting out that message, putting it out there, saying, hey, we're here, we're active. Come check us out. Or, hey, come check out this cool thing. Like, it isn't always just about like, we have an event, shoving it down your face. It should also be engaging and hey, we're fun people. You want to be part of the fun. Here's the fun thing we're doing. And so when you see us next, you might now be part of doing this fun thing too.
Nice. Now it seems like you got a marketing background and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you also work with like just solo wrestlers and managers about building their brand and all that?
On a more like an individual basis, I'll sometimes have conversations with folks about what can I do to help them. Mm-hmm. I have done workshops with folks on their social media presence, how to do some of that branding work. But that's been more of an off thing, like more, hey, you know, if you want to bounce an idea off or just need an opinion, you know, feel free to reach out. And because the one cool thing that you can do on social media is really do a reflection of yourself or of your who you are in wrestling. And let that just have a life and breathe a bit. And some people do so exceptionally well with doing that. When they really put effort forward going like, think of every single day, you need to have content out to say who you are and what you're doing. And if you start thinking of it in that aspect and just start there, like, why is it cool to be you? Why should I be watching and engaging with you? Even beyond just, oh, come see me at this event. But then, oh yeah, do that too. Then people are going to be more and more likely to be like, oh, this seems like an interesting person to follow. Like, okay, oh, and they're going to be at this event this Saturday. Oh, that's really cool. Okay, let me go check them out.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things that we've been touching on here and there with the wrestling and with the haunt side of the haunted attraction industry is, you know, it, like I said, back in the day, the wrestlers just kind of did their thing and, you know, maybe promoted here and there a little bit. But with all the tools and the social media and all, everything that's available today, you know, they have every opportunity to build their own brand just like a regular company. And that's what I think, like every wrestler should have their own character, their own brand, their character should have a Facebook page, you know, have its own entity, you know, and that's things that we've kind of touched on as well about how important it is for the wrestlers themselves to brand themselves and treat their social media as a brand and get themselves out there to get more work.
Oh, absolutely agreed. And I even, I mean, me personally, I did the step further and I trademarked President of Wrestling. Yeah. About a year ago, year and a half ago, I guess. Correction, I started it a year and a half ago, and it took up until about 6 months ago for it to finally all go through. But I thought that was important, especially as we were entering I've been using that moniker for like 4 years. And as we were especially entering an election year, I felt like, you know what, it probably is good to have this reserved somewhere. And as I had already put it out there to trademark it. I won't say who, but on a national television program, somebody I know made a remark that was like, maybe I should be running for some kind of, you know, it is an election year, maybe I should run for some kind of elected official position in wrestling. I don't know, maybe president out there. And I sort of shot him a message like, that's trademarked, buddy. And you know, I've been calling myself that for years.
Right.
Hey. And I never heard him say it again. So
that's funny. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, about getting the trademark. I thought it was actually a pretty clever move because, like you said, it's a catchy phrase, and eventually somebody was going to come up with it if you hadn't trademarked it.
And that's exactly why. It was more about, you know, protecting the identity that I had started to help build for myself. And more because what I had seen I'd seen some other wrestlers go through, oh, I've been using this name for a number of years. And then somebody else came through and had trademarked it. And then the person who trademarked it sent cease and desist papers. Well, the wrestler was like, well, I don't have money to fight that. So I guess I have to change my name. And so it was more of just a protection just for myself. At the same time, I'm dealing with an issue with a company right now that I'm not even going to give credence to their promoters calling themselves the president of wrestling. And it's not a promoter who should even be in wrestling, in my opinion. And so I've had to say to him, you know, that this is trademarked. Like him and I had directly had a conversation about this. Mm-hmm. And no, that's not cool. Like, stop. Right. So now he's calling himself the president of pro wrestling. And I'm like, listen, McDonald's is trademarked as a hamburger franchise, a restaurant. You don't go out and get a trademark with the same looking kind of M and just call it Old McDonald's Hamburgers and French Fries. Like, that's not how it works, buddy.
Right.
So that's still an ongoing issue, but for the most part, he's not making any money either. I would be a little bit more concerned. It is about protecting your identity and giving your identity some credence. And plus, if I'm the president of wrestling, then now I have something to stand on, which is a trademark.
Yep, there you go. Absolutely. Like we had mentioned before, you got like tons of irons in the fire when it comes to wrestling. You know, you work for multiple companies. Mm-hmm. We'll name some of the companies if you want and get their names out there of who you work with and stuff.
MCW Pro Wrestling out of they have events in Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania. Wrestling Revolver that has events out of Iowa and Ohio primarily. And then typically we travel for when there's WrestleMania. Working for Camp Leapfrog, which is on IWTV, that spent the majority of the pandemic no fan events, cinematic kind of tapings, and now has been moving into finally getting into live events now that things are opening up in certain locations a little bit more. Hopefully we keep moving in that in a good direction. I had been working with Rockstar. You know, I know Ohio's been sort of up and down and back and left, so I know that they've been trying to get footing again to be able to run again. My brain just had a fart. I was like, I know I've been working at all these places, and now my brain is not right. To work. Ignite Wrestling down in Florida, Pele Pro out of Texas. Oh, nice. Did I lose you?
No, you're good. Yeah,
you're all over the place.
Oh, okay.
I actually.
Yeah, so, I mean, I
was just say I live in Hamilton, which is 30 minutes south of Dayton. So I've been to Rockstar a couple of times.
I always liked being there. I always thought a lot of the people there were great to be with. You know, I just want to continue growing and continue expanding. And I was fortunate that, you know, in a year where a lot of things were shut down, I traveled in the sense the start of this year, I've traveled to Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, Maryland, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, all for wrestling. And so I'm happy that I was able to do that. It was truncated in many ways, but at the same time, I hope I can continue to try and get more and more places this year.
Excellent.
Yeah, and on top of all the multiple companies that you work for, you also are actually owner of HWA. The old HWA was ran by Les Thatcher for many years and was very popular, you know, in its time. And is there any plans on bringing that back to life, or is that just something you're keeping in your back pocket, or what's the plans for that?
It's honestly a little bit of both. So when I first bought it, Heartland had a very special place in my heart. Les was actually one, I think, the very first wrestling promoter I ever talked with. And so for me, when it became open for sale, I just had this weird nostalgia moment. And it was at a time I wasn't really doing a lot in wrestling. And so I wanted to take a look at what if I ran it. I wanted to do it appropriately, which meant I didn't just jump in. And to be nice about it, I will say I saw some of the owners between Les and myself sometimes not do the best setup for events, sometimes just ran, you know, head full of steam into a wall and not really planning it out or not really promoting it well or not doing some of the right things. And when I first took it, I really tried to find venues in the Cincinnati area, and I got a lot of no's. And I got a lot of no's because some of the previous owners had done bad business with them, or they just heard the word wrestling and put up their hands and shook their head and ran away screaming. And it's funny because even now, working with Wrestling Revolver that sometimes has events out in Ohio, we called around the Dayton area to say, hey, we're looking for a venue. We want to come out there. We're looking to have probably 500 people at this next event in Ohio. And a venue that I know could fit double that at least for a wrestling event with standing, like very much with a lot of space around them, said, oh, no, we don't think we have enough room for an event like that. And it was just like, just tell me you don't want wrestling. Like, that's okay. Like, you don't have to like say you don't have the room in a gym that's basically two high school gyms put together. Like, it just didn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's not as easy as, oh, I'm just going to rent this space, because sometimes the space doesn't like what you're doing.
All right.
So I've run into a lot of those headaches with trying to run, but now I'm busy myself as a talent and running around with a whole bunch of different companies. So it's become a little bit harder, and I currently live in Maryland. So running a company called Heartland Wrestling Association out of Maryland just felt like it lost some of the punch. I think the legacy of HWA is pretty strong. I mean, especially people in wrestling know what Heartland is, know what HWA is. So it carries a significance, and I've always thought, and right after I first bought it, I actually went to lunch with Les Thatcher and just had this conversation that if I don't ever run a day or ever run an event with the name Heartland Wrestling Association on it, it won't be for a lack of trying, but that I don't want to just run an event for the sake of running an event, that it's a business. And so I would expect to run it like a business, to make money off of that business endeavor. And that if it isn't going to work out, I'm fine leaving it alone and protecting the name as best as I can, to respect the nostalgia and the history it has.
Yeah, I say I can definitely relate with the running a Heartland promotion in Maryland, because like I said, we're New Ohio Wrestling, and my wife and I, we're big fans of like the Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Smoky Mountain area. And yeah, she's like, we got to move to Tennessee. And I'm like, well, New Ohio Wrestling in Tennessee probably ain't going to work too well. So we'd probably have to do something about that part of it. So I get it.
I like that area. I really like Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. I regret that I thought I was going to be able to go this year, and I regret that I've sort of run out of time to be able to go.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since we've been, so we're due. We're due to go back. So on top of, let's say we got your actual, small scale of wrestling here and there on rare occasions. You got the multiple companies you're working for with social media and all that stuff you're doing and promoting and building brands. You also have the indie wrestling calendar, which I'd like to talk about, because I've actually put some of my events on there. I've kind of slacked off since COVID hit, and I haven't really put much on there. Tell the guys out there and ladies out there about the indie wrestling calendar and why they should be using it, because I think they should.
So years and years ago, just as sort of a side project, as I was seeing events, I would just keep them on a list, and slowly would put them out there here and there. And about this time, maybe 2 years ago, somebody put me in contact with a gentleman by the name of Travis Stevens out of the Las Vegas area. And he was looking to put together a website focused on a wrestling calendar. And of course, we started at the end of Christmas 2019. We had felt like it was good enough to launch and announce it and talk about it. And then pandemic hit. And so then we're like, we're pulling sites, pulling events. We're trying to figure out what to do. Well, then the coding on the site crashed. Google did a code update. And basically the site would allow you to see on a map like where things were and allow you to input addresses. Well, it canceled it. He, unfortunately, in his real life and his full-time job, was unable to spend the time to fix the coding. So I couldn't use that particular website anymore. So now I still keep a manual list. I post up on social media an image of the list. I render it a little bit better, so it's not just like a flat image. I basically kind of cut and paste it into Publisher and render it as a PNG file. And then I also send it out to that wrestling contact list, that media list that I have, to let them know, like, hey, here are things that are coming up. And I've started to also keep a track of seminars that are coming up, because I was getting asked by people in wrestling to do that. And when I first put the calendar together, it was really about, let's let fans know where wrestling is so they can, find events and know where to go to. And then over time, I was finding talent was using it because they were looking for events to work. Mm-hmm. And so now, same thing, talent are looking for more and more seminar opportunities to continue their knowledge and growth. And so I'm trying to track that as best as I can as well.
Right. Yeah. And that's, y'all, like I said, on top of that, you also have a newsletter, and that's part of the newsletter, I'm assuming you put that in there, and which Brutal Bob Evans, we had him down a few months ago for a seminar, and he told the whole class to sign up for your newsletter, that it's pretty much a standard guarantee that you have to do that. So, so Uncle Bob's putting over the newsletter and with good reason.
Which I appreciate. I appreciate Bob so much. He's out of the gate the first day I met him, he bought me dinner.
Nice.
Just for putting the calendar together. And that just said a lot to me about, the value he put on it, the value he put in me, and I really appreciated that.
Oh yeah, Bob's an awesome dude. Like I said, I reach out to him quite often for advice and just to chat and whatever, and we keep in touch with each other. So he's definitely a good person to have on your side for sure.
Absolutely.
Jim, you want to jump in there and ask a question or two? I'm kind of hogging the whole interview.
Like,
I was enjoying the fact that you were hogging the whole interview.
Right. These last two, I've been going off, huh?
Usually I'm the one who does most of the talking. So, hey, you know, I'm good. It's great to meet Phil and, you know, and hearing that you have ties to the Heartland Wrestling Association. I know several people from HWA down here, Cody Hawk, Jackson Breeze, off the top of my head. And it's really cool to see the owner of HWA right now, even though he's in Maryland or wherever he is right now driving.
I'm unfortunately on the DC Beltway going a whopping 11 miles an hour. Oh,
getting it.
So you had mentioned that you had wrestled in the past, Phil.
Yeah.
Did you have a specific gimmick that you used, or?
You know, I kind of went through what some people go through and just this wild range. When I started, it was this sort of like party rave gimmick. I don't know. It really wasn't me. And it took, I think my first couple of events starting out, I was like, other people had to tell me it wasn't me before I could really see it, that it wasn't me. And then I focused on, well, what am I good at? Like, what do I know that I'm doing well? And I became like this, it was a little bit atypical baby face. And I just made it me, and I just made it fun. When I, especially in my early days of doing it, and even one of the reasons I got trained in wrestling was very incorrectly, a doctor diagnosed me with a precancerous condition. Fortunately, he was wrong in his diagnosis. I did not have that condition, but it was what sort of spurred me on to like, okay, well, I guess I better get trained because it's now or never. And by doing that, that sort of helped push me. And then it just felt like I need to do this for me. Like, this is, of course, I'm here in front of a crowd. I need to entertain this crowd, but it's on me then to do all of that work. And so it became sort of it was me at like at the upper 10% level, like just pushing myself. So when I was the person you wanted to love and cheer for, it was me to the happiness, to the joyous part of me that I could be. And when it was me as people that people who wanted to boo me, it was the absolute how do I not want to be treated version of myself. Or honestly, and maybe I shouldn't admit this, but sometimes it would be honestly be how I was really truly feeling or thinking about certain people, but I never would really tell them. And then I would do promos and work with them and be like, I really do think you're a piece of dirt and I'm going to work with it, but I don't like being doing it.
There you go. It's a way to vent some frustrations, huh?
Right. And it's funny because I would, I used to work for this company called AIWF down in AIWF Mid-Atlantic in North Carolina. And I was very fortunate with them that they let me sort of do promos as much as I wanted. They let me just go into it. And they were the first company that let me sort of go free with what I wanted to say in a promo. And we had a big tournament and we were bringing in talent from all over the country. And before the event, I was working out with somebody in the ring, like one of our brand new kids. And this guy comes up to me, introduces himself, named Jason Collins out of Georgia. Very nice guy, walked away, and I'm still working with this kid in the ring, and I get done about 10 minutes later, and I hop out of the ring, and he goes, hey, Phil, can I talk to you for a second? I was like, sure, and I've never met this man in my life. And he's like, I need to apologize to you. What are you talking about? He goes, I saw your promo that you cut, and man, I thought you were the biggest piece of dog ass. And I didn't want anything to do with you. And I realize now that it was a promo and I got worked by your promo. And that's never happened to me before. I'm so sorry. And after that, we actually have become like, we're like best friends now.
Nice. That's funny.
And it's so funny that it started from a place of he thought he was going to absolutely hate my guts because of what I said about him in a promo.
Yeah, he was going to have some words with you, wasn't he, before that?
Oh, yeah. He was ready.
That's funny. So, go ahead, Jim.
No, go ahead, Donnie. I'm
Oh, I was just going to turn the corner, but that's usually what you do. So we kind of touched on a lot of his wrestling stuff, and I wanted to turn the corner into the horror sector and see how much of a horror person he is.
So that's what I was going to do. So you beat me to the punch.
See?
Did 2020 take its toll on your fitness? Well, body slam the pandemic and get back in shape with WrestleFit. This innovative program combines all the fitness regimens you'll need to reach your goals. The WrestleFit workout will bring strength training, cardio, and the world of professional wrestling together in a fun, new, and exciting way. Have yourself a blast working out with dumbbells, kettlebells, slam balls, ropes, tires, and an 18-foot full-size wrestling ring. The WrestleFit workout isn't just for pro wrestlers. The WrestleFit workout is for everybody. At the Now Training Center, you can pursue your fitness goals and learn how to train like a professional wrestler without all the bumps, bruises, and slams with the WrestleFit workout. Go to www.newohiowrestling.com/training for more information, or stop by the Now Training Center at 625 Eastgate Parkway, Black Lick, Ohio, 43004, Unit 6137.
I do like horror movies. I will say I feel like every time I say I love horror movies, that like people instantly jump on me with like the vaguest horror movies that I've never heard of in my life. So I don't want to say like I'm a total fanatic. I'm not entrenched in the genre. I am in a trio of horror movies, Ninjas versus Zombies, Ninjas versus Vampires, Ninjas versus Monsters.
Nice.
I think Ninjas vs. Monsters you can get on Amazon Prime right now, and I think the rest of them are currently on Tubi. But so I've been on the cinematic side of being a part of a horror franchise. But then also I do love watching. I love the scare. I love the sense of an ominous threat, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right. So, have you ever gone to a haunted attraction during Halloween season?
Oh, yes. And in fact, in 2 weeks, I'm going back down to Universal Studios for Halloween Horror Night.
Amazing, amazing production.
I mean, it just can't be beat. Like, I do think that there are better attractions that can scare you better, that will be darker themed, but the quality of film level production that they put into building their haunted house is absolutely amazing. In that respect, it can't be beat.
I agree with you. I've been a couple of times. I used to live in Florida, so.
Okay.
It was movie quality. I mean, you don't get that out of a lot of haunted attractions, but let me tell you, there are some haunted attractions out there that will rival Universal Studios that aren't big movie studios. I mean, I may recommend, if you're ever down in the Atlanta area, or actually it's Stone Mountain now, Netherworld Haunted House.
I have heard of that, but I've not had a chance to go to it before.
You will not be disappointed, I promise you.
For me, you know, with Universal, it's a lot of bang for your buck. You know, they have multiple houses, multiple attractions, the whole park is turned over, so there's multiple themed scare zones, different performances. So you're going in and you're seeing this whole massive production that might even take you a couple of days to go through. Versus, you know, again, even some great haunted attractions, it's one haunted attraction or maybe a small handful of things versus this entire literal transformation. Two nearby parks to me, I'm near King's Dominion and Six Flags in DC. They do, of course, they, you know, turn over and they have scare zones and they might have a haunted house or two. It's nothing compared to what Universal does.
No, not even close. I used to work as I'm a retired haunted attraction actor.
Okay.
And one of my first gigs was at King's Island in Cincinnati.
Okay.
And then I've actually worked at Netherworld before. As well as other nationally known haunts, and maybe you're not getting everything you're getting at Universal, and you're also not getting the cost.
Yeah.
Involved, but try some of the smaller ones. I mean,
absolutely.
Surprised. I mean, really.
A few years ago, I had gone to Universal, and I drove down, and on my way back, there was a hurricane or a tropical storm or something that was coming through. So I got rerouted. I think like central South Carolina was like flooded out. So I got rerouted very far to the west and ended up in Charlotte. And I was like, I'm going to go to Carowinds. And never been to Carowinds. And I decided to do their Halloween stuff. And again, you're, like you said, not to the level of a Universal. I had as much fun by myself at a haunted attraction. I still have at my office, I have a key that I got from the attraction. Like their VIP pass was this big solid metal key, and it was how you unlocked the special scare attractions at the park.
Nice.
And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it is. I've never heard of that before. It is pretty cool.
And I have a friend who used to work at Carowinds. So
now, was Dent Schoolhouse up and running back in the old Les Thatcher HWA days, Jim?
No.
No? Okay. So I didn't know if he'd maybe, since he was in the Cincinnati area at that time, if he'd went to Dent or anything.
Oh, there it was run, it was called the Haunted House, and it was run by the Boy Scouts.
I mean, I think part of my own personal enticement for haunted attractions was I was in elementary school, and my bus would pass by this one haunted house. And it was like, you are not allowed to go there unless you're a teenager. You do not go there. And I never got a chance to, and the house is torn down now. and so I think it was always like an enticing, like, you're not supposed to go do it, Phil. And then I became old enough to go do it. So now I'm old enough to go do it, and I can pay for it.
There you go.
Well, I enjoy haunted houses. Unfortunately, as a haunted attraction actor, it's really terribly hard to scare me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's really hard.
I will say I've been now to, this will be my fourth time going to Halloween Horror Night.
Okay.
And I think it was the second time I went with a group of friends that included Sam McCallahan. And it was like Sam McCallahan and Jess Havoc, Rich Swan, and a couple of other folks from NXT at the time that I can't remember off the top of my head. And it was just such a blast. And like, it was hilarious to see Sam McCallahan freaked out by, you know, Jason versus Freddy, you know? But it was just such a good time. And so like, it's made me, since then, like, I always want to go back down with other people. Because I would just go by myself, because I just want to go to have the thrill of it, and to get away from work. My office job is working at a university, so during August, which is when my birthday is, I'm typically slammed busy all the way through September, and then I get to October, and it's like, oh, I can enjoy my birthday that was 2 months ago. Oh, well, guess what this month is? It's all the Halloween attractions. So let's do that.
All right.
I did Dollywood's Halloween stuff. Not great, because it's not necessarily a Halloween themed. It's more of like an autumn themed festival.
Mm-hmm.
Still fun.
Have you ever gone to Mysterious Mansion in Gatlinburg?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I feel like it was all right.
I've not personally been, but I knew recently, I knew a kid that I used to mentor that actually was running it for about a year before he resigned. Okay. But this was just recently. I mean, I've heard pluses and minuses about it. I mean, it runs all year long.
Right.
Yeah, I took my youngest daughter, Rachel, there 1 year when we were down there. Everybody was taking their power nap midday, so me and her ran down to the haunt, and from what I could tell, there was only 2 to 3 people working the whole house, and I mean, it was okay. Like, they got one good scare on us that we weren't expecting, but for the rest of the most part, you could see the people working, and it was scampering to get to the next scene and all that. But yeah, it wasn't too bad. Like you said, it was okay. It was pretty good, I thought.
I had worked at one as a when I was in college, at a property called Serenity Farms in Maryland, and I did one where you had to jump out of a hole in the ceiling, and you had a harness on it with a little bungee cord that you were jumping down on, And then the next year they decided to reverse the idea of it, and they put you in the bottom of a well, and so you like slung shot out of the well drenched in water, and it was great. Loved it.
That sounds like fun.
It was a lot of fun. I remember jumping out of the ceiling. I did land on one person one time. It happened to be a friend of mine, which is even more funny in the moment.
But that was fun. I will tell you, Phil, right now you're driving. I don't expect you to look, but background behind me when you watch the video is actually one of my haunt characters when I was
working.
So I love scaring people. I just I'm too old for it.
Well, in wrestling right now, there are a couple people who are doing that I just love. I think it's so different in the storytelling of what's happening in a ring right now.
Right.
And it's a story which is really hard for some wrestlers to actually be able to do well. So right away, their personality is telling you the story. There's Charles Mason basically doing an American, other extreme, high mighty focus, but will kill people for the thrill. The Carver of Cutter's Alley, by far is my favorite, and I better say he's my that will hunt you down, and might. You might find yourself with a rope around your neck or a meat hook in your mouth. So you need to be careful when you're near the Carver of Cutter's Alley. And then there's Matthew Plummer out of Texas, who has changed his persona from, hey, I'm a great wrestler guy, to I'm the monster hunter, Matthew Plummer. And it's a very over-the-top Van Helsing kind of thing, where he's trying to stop the monsters of wrestling.
Okay.
But I will also say, since we're kind of on this topic too, I went on sort of a mask binge, dealing with COVID. Like I got a lot of masks from like luchamasks.com. And so this is one of my masks that I got, because nice. I felt like for October, if I have to represent wrestling and all this other stuff, let me represent a little bit of horror.
There you go. Very cool.
That is great. I like that. I like a man who thinks that way, especially during Halloween season.
Great. Hey, you get to wear a mask year round. Have fun with it. Well, you can't. Global pandemic.
Very cool. Hey, if I could touch back on wrestling a little bit, because I wanted to, we do this thing where we try to get some golden nuggets out of people that we talk with. And, it could be either the marketing part of it or, whatever part you would want to be, but what would be one or two things that your aha moments or something that's been a big influence on you that you've kept with what you've learned in wrestling? Cause you've been in wrestling for a long time. And what are some good things you could give to like the new guys and gals out there that they can run with?
That's a very good question. You never really do stop learning. And even now, like in this past probably New Year's time, I worked on a wrestling cinematic and did all the video editing and audio editing myself. So I was I taught myself some of the video editing techniques, and I was reaching out to people I knew in production to say like, hey, how do I fix this? And hey, how do I change lighting? And just to be able to learn a little bit more of that was so important for me, just knowing where I'm at in my life right now, and not being able to be as physical at times. That helped me be able to still be active and still do something and still be able to contribute. But even inside of a wrestling ring, like there's always going to be people more knowledgeable that you can talk with. I've known people who very egotistically were like, I am the top of my game. I know exactly what I'm doing. And then they work a name who has been there and done that. And they're like, I know nothing. And now I see that I know nothing.
Right.
And it should be taken as a learning opportunity. It can be humbling, but learn from it. Okay, so what did you get out of them? What did you hear from them? To don't shy away from feedback, but if you ask for feedback, ask for it genuinely and honestly. I way too many times people will ask for feedback, and then the second the person says something that they don't agree with, oh, well, that's because .. Right. Or oh, but. And that, I shut down now. If somebody asks for feedback and I say, well, this is what I saw or observed, and they like rail against it, it's like, you asked me for feedback.
Right.
If you don't want it, that's fine. But then don't expect me to ever give it to you again. But at the same time, be humble and respectful. And in your brain, if you're like, that son of a whatever, like, I don't know what he's talking about. Like, grit your teeth and bear it and just go, okay, thank you. Like,
yep.
Just move on.
Yep. There you go. Two magical words. Thank you.
Right.
So, Donnie, I think it's time. Mm-hmm. I think it's time for the question.
All right. Yeah. We'll go ahead and throw it at him. We asked everybody a question that comes onto the podcast. There's no right or wrong answer. We just like to dig into the minds of people and see how they think and function. And that question is, you are the main serial killer in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
My gut reaction to that question is there any cooler power than invading someone's dreams and using their dreams against them? Like, to be Freddy Krueger in what he could do, kind of at that same level, the ability to manifest, to take, I can see your fear and here's your fear and I'm going to throw it back at you. And that's what's going to kill you. Your own fear will take care of you. Like, that seems intimidating to me.
Yeah, very good.
That is a very unique idea. Mm-hmm. Kill. I like that, actually. Mm-hmm. And once again, we have never had a duplicate answer on this question, ever. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this for almost 60 episodes.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a movie right there. You know, that the killer can sense what their greatest fear is, and that's how they kill them. That's a right. Movie right there. Yeah. You better trademark that while you're at it.
There you go.
Better mark it down before I do. No,
hey, Lionsgate, what do you think?
That's a great idea. I love that. So Phil, how can people find out more about you? Social media, websites, all that good stuff. How can people find out more about the President of Wrestling?
Sure. You can follow me on social media. I'm on almost every major platform. So I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, Twitter. Look up Trust in Phil, all one word, Trust in Phil, and you will be able to find me on pretty much every social media platform.
Trust in Phil. Hmm. How about a website? You got a website?
No longer have a personal website. I used to. And actually, if you go to my Twitter account, for example, I now have something called Linktree that will link very easily to all of my other social media accounts. I do have my IMDb page is active. I have over 150 credits listed there in my IMDb. A lot of it comes from wrestling, but it's not exclusively wrestling. If you look, it's interesting. I was going to say, if you look me up, you'll find me. But then I realized there is a new young author writer named Phil Stamper. It's actually Phil Stamper Halpin, I think. I am not that Phil Stamper. and it's funny because now he's much more known and popular and gonna make more money than I ever have. He's getting tweets about wrestling stuff to him, and I'm getting tweets about the books he's writing. And so we've talked before just about, like, we don't know each other, we're not related, we're not connected in any way that we know of, but how people are messaging each other thinking that we're the other person. So I'm the one in wrestling. Trust in Phil.
Trust in Phil, or Phil Stamper Wrestling if you're searching for it.
There you go.
Or the President of Wrestling.
Yes. Phil, It has been absolutely enjoyable having you on the show with us this evening. Thank you for taking time while you're driving to talk with me and Donnie here on the Wrestle Horror Podcast. And we can't wait to see what's going on in the future. Please let us know if you have any news that you want to get out to the masses. We will be more than happy to get it into our Facebook and into the show someplace. And I'm excited to see what you're going to be doing in the future.
Will do. Thank you so much. I mean, the big thing right now is check out ProWrestlingRevolver.com because we're about to put tickets up for sale for a major event in Des Moines, Iowa that's going to have a main event of Jon Moxley and Sami Callihan teaming together to take on Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards, the American Wolves, in their reunion. So it's going to be a jam-packed event.
I am so jealous I cannot make it out there for that. I saw that post and it's like, ah, damn it.
We're hoping it's not going to be the last time you're going to see, like, especially like Moxley and Sami team up together. Moxley himself, just a whole little aside, I guess. Mox has been such a stand-up guy for this. He has trademarked the Switchblade and the Switchblade Conspiracy on his own dime. And has said, like, this is his. This is his opportunity to put something for him and Sami together that nobody else owns. AEW doesn't own it. Impact doesn't own it. This is theirs that they own. And I'm so excited that Revolver's going to have it.
That's very cool.
That is. You need to get them to wrestle in Dayton.
We're working on it.
I'll be there for that one. It's just a half hour up the road.
Right.
But thanks again for joining us, Phil. My name is Meat Hook Jim, as you can see by my logo. I'm going to be promoting that along with my co-host Donnie Hoover and our special guest, the president of wrestling, Phil Stamper. This is the Wrestle Horror Podcast. We will see you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/wrestlehorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.